Hey, pretty cool event. Hail Varsity yearbook. They had a release party at the Hail Varsity bar, which, you know, we got to set up a lunch date with Brandon Vogel, who joins us now. Good morning, sir. The HV Club, or whatever you want to call it, is doing really, really well. You guys are getting some really good reviews.
Yeah, thanks. It's been an exciting way to kind of expand the brand. You know, I wasn't able to make that yearbook release party, unfortunately, but
I wasn't either, Brandon.
Had it on good authority from our staff that it was a fun time. You know, I think when you're trying to do kind of print publication in our current era, the ability to connect with the people who support you and readers, listeners, et cetera, is super important. So that was kind of the thinking behind that.
Yeah, any place where you can get prosciutto on as a topping, that's probably going to be pretty okay. How about that?
Yeah, that doesn't steer you wrong too often.
No, it's all about the proteins, B. That's what I've been trying to explain to Shane over the break, and he doesn't get it, not at all. But Shane is going to be okay. Brandon, we're trying to figure out how much time we would have to give you to figure out how many times Nebraska got underneath center, and will that number be topped in game one in 2022?
I probably wouldn't need very long, but I really want to go back and at least try and verify it. So it might take about 30 minutes, but yeah, I'm thinking we're going to surpass that. We're going to hit the over on wherever we set it in game one, probably.
What do you think will be the benefit to the running game going under center more? Or do you, what are the advantages of Nebraska going under center more with the current personnel in the running game?
Well, I think it will be a benefit because I look at Nebraska's O-line, still a big question mark coming off of the past couple of seasons. Running back, like some of the options, a lot of sorting to be done there. I mean, I think if you've got a pretty talented running back, you can run from the shotgun pretty fine. When maybe you don't have that, or maybe where you're trying to build that, you know, those talented players on the front or in the backfield are maybe just earlier in their careers. Like, I mean, I'm not a running back, but the angles, I think, are easier. It's a little easier to see. If you're the running back, you're back there by yourself, and you know you're taking a handoff to one side or the other. You've still got to be good. You've still got to be intuitive. But I do think just changing the view of that a little bit could help those running backs.
So we keep talking about, like, you know, hey, handoff run game and downhill run game, and we love the running backs room and Brian Applewhite. Where do you think the offensive line has to be good? Because, oh, by the way, they're pretty integral in all this. We lost Noelle. Nebraska seems to be preparing for that. Are you comfortable with that philosophy, given what's going on up front?
I mean, it feels kind of strange to say, but with the loss of Noelle, and obviously having to replace the second-round draft pick at center, like, a lot of my questions kind of deal with the interior. Oh, by the way, like, I don't know about you guys, but I definitely don't. I don't know that many people felt great about the tackle play on either side last year. So all of a sudden, with a presumed starter down on that offensive line, like, you're really banking on Prochazka to be pretty good and to go and take that left tackle spot, presumably. Which is fine and good, and you know, we liked what we saw from him last year, but it was a really small sample size against Northwestern in a game where Nebraska had a stranglehold on that thing from very, very early on. I'm not trying to diminish what he did in that game. There's a lot of context around that. So the middle of this guard, center, guard, like, those guys, I think, probably have the most to do with what Nebraska is able to do from a running perspective, you know, based on the offensive line, their contribution to that, I guess, is the way to put it.
So the most important offensive lineman to stabilize the offensive line, not named Teddy Prochazka, is who?
Whoever plays center, which I guess we're kind of penciling in Hickson at that spot for now, or at least I am. I think that's probably the answer most of the time. But when you just look at what you're coming from, in Juergens, I think it underscores the importance of that person to get people where they need to be, make sure everybody knows where they're going and what they're doing up there. And also, I mean, I guess maybe this is a benefit if Nebraska is more under center. Probably didn't spend a ton of time practicing that, but the guy who spent a ton of time working on his shotgun snaps is in the NFL now.
Oh, that's interesting. Hey, and you know what? So, Brandon, I was been talking about this the last week. Curious to get your thoughts on, can Nebraska have a good offense, a more efficient offense than a year ago, without discussing the quarterback play?
I mean, it might be the easiest way for Nebraska to have an offense that I think puts up more points, an offense that we all agree at the end of the year was, well, it was better. Look at the results. You know, maybe they didn't put up as many yards. Maybe they put up more. But in terms of points on the board, you can't argue with it. Like, I think the easiest, I think the ideal way, maybe that's a better word than easiest, is if that quarterback play is just pretty solid. Obviously, like, if we're talking about quarterback play because it's not good enough, you're going to have a hard time no matter what. But if you get to a point where it's just like, yeah, Casey Thompson or, you know, Logan Smothers, Chuba Purdy, whoever it may end up being, like, pretty solid. Like, I think you could do that. I think Nebraska could get where it needed to go this year with that level of quarterback play.
This is something Damon and I were talking about, and I brought up Zach Lee. Maybe you got somebody between Zach Lee and Adrian Martinez, where the last time Nebraska didn't have an offense that was so quarterback-centric, that relied so much on either the arm or the legs of the quarterback. Zach Lee?
Yeah, probably Zach Lee.
And they relied a lot on Tommy. I
mean, yeah, Tommy's the one who would be a little bit closer to that.
He came up quite a bit in the discussions, right?
Yep. He came up quite a bit in discussions, you know, partly because of the turnovers, but also, like, I think during those Mike Riley years, they ended up running him way more than they intended to because he was good at it. He was a weapon. And that was certainly the case for Adrian Martinez and obviously Taylor. And that's kind of been the past decade, you know, with the Tanner Lee year thrown in there. Been the past decade for Nebraska where all too often, I think, this was less true for Taylor and Martinez than it was Adrian, in my opinion, but all too often you get down to those high leverage downs and it's like, well, what are we going to do? We feel most confident in just like, let the quarterback go make a play. Mm-hmm. If Nebraska can get away from that, I think they're probably better off. Obviously, what you want to have both options, but we've had 10 years about now of only one option. So I'm ready for a little something new.
Wow. Is there anybody in the West, maybe O'Connell, that you would feel comfortable going, go make a play at quarterback? Any of the six Big Ten West Division teams?
O'Connell's probably the pick, the easy pick. You know, Morgan is like, it's so boomer. It's not boomer bust with him, but like for me to feel comfortable with that, it would probably have to be the fourth quarter of a game like he had against Nebraska last year. I mean, he's had three games in his career where he's completed more than 80% of the passes, and it's not on like 38 attempts or anything. But if you can do that on 22 attempts, you don't need to throw much more than that. And he has those games where he just kind of goes lights out. So he might be kind of a long shot second pick for me. But beyond that, yeah, it's tough to identify a guy where you're just like, okay, it's third and four. You know what they're going to do.
Great stuff as always, Brandon. The yearbook is fantastic, by the way. Kudos to you and the rest of the crew.
I appreciate that, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, B.
And so Brandon Vogel from Hail Varsity. The yearbook is out. 59 days away from the start of the season, Josh Heskew. We got to come up with 58 tomorrow.
Okay, I'm on.
Feel bad about Ryan Bingham. I liked Ryan Bingham.
Well, you could have used him if you wanted to.
Yeah, but Josh Heskew, better player.
Okay, well then, all right. Well, sometimes there's got to be winners and losers.
I couldn't find a 59 in college overall college football. Yeah.
Weird number.
Yeah, 58. Will tomorrow be Dave Volk?
Oh, you said what?
Maybe.
Nah.
We'll see you tomorrow at 6:00.